So this morning, as you see at the front, we are going to be taking the Lord's Supper. And as is the habit here at Central Baptist, I want to prepare us for that. I don't want us to just blindly dive into taking the Lord's Supper at the end and it just be something that's kind of tagged on at the end of the service. But I want us through the Scriptures to see the significance of the Lord's Supper and why it is that we do this once a month. So we'll be in the book of Matthew, Matthew 26. And here we are, we're at the very end of the book. By the way it goes, we've missed a lot because there's 28 chapters. We're at chapter 26. And Jesus has wrapped up all of his teaching. He's given the Sermon on the Mount. He's given his parables. He's taught so many different things. And now it comes to the end of his life, the end of his earthly ministry here in chapters 26. And not that we'll read it, but it also goes into chapter 27. But here in our scene this morning, which will begin in verse 26, if you want to go ahead and find that, the Passover celebration for the Jews is about to happen. And the Passover is something we've talked about before. And this was the celebration when they took time to remember and celebrate the fact that God had rescued them as a country from slavery. The slavery that took place in the nation of Egypt. And every year, the people of Israel would celebrate the Passover so as to remind themselves of how their family before at one time had killed a lamb, had taken the blood of that lamb and put it over the doorpost, the doorway to their house, and then after that had eaten that very lamb. And this is what they are remembering because there was a lot of symbols that were connected to those various actions. And all of them reminded these people of how their country at one time, their people at one time had been slaves. But then God had freed them and given them their own land to live in. So Jesus is having this celebration with his disciples. It would be his last Passover celebration on this earth. And so if you're there in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, let's read that first verse. I'll read this first verse. Please follow along. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So we'll pause there for a moment before we continue on to Jesus talking about the cup of wine. So, as I said, we find Jesus and his disciples right here in the middle of the Passover. When we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we kind of put the different stories together of Jesus having the Passover with his disciples, and we have a pretty clear guess that this would have been pretty much like right in the middle of that meal. It was a rather lengthy meal that had different rituals that were within it, and so they're probably right there at the middle of this time. Each dish of food that would have been on that table would have represented something. Either something about the slavery that their nation was once in, something about their freedom, something about their history. Each piece of food was significant. It wasn't just there just for decoration. So Jesus is leading this meal, but then he takes an unexpected turn. Okay, so this meal would have been familiar to all of his disciples. They would have, for years, have come together and had this meal, just like every person that was ever born in the nation of Israel. Everything that was going to happen, they did the year before that. In some ways, we could say they could probably have done this meal in their sleep. It would have been so familiar to them. But Jesus takes an unexpected turn in this meal, as he so often does when we read about Jesus in the Bible. Does what we don't expect, but does it with a purpose. The unexpected turn comes when Jesus says, "This is my body." Everything up to that would have been what they expected. When he took the bread, it says in verse 26 that he had taken the bread, he broke it, and he says, "Take, eat." That wouldn't have been unexpected, but when he describes the bread, when he gives a new definition to this bread that he's just broken, he's passing out to his disciples and says, "This is my body," it would have been a shocker. What is Jesus talking about? And it's not that they would have been surprised by way of thinking that Jesus is some kind of like cannibalistic teacher that's telling them to literally eat a part of his physical body. That's nowhere in the text. But the fact that now Jesus is taking a piece of bread that for centuries had had a specific representation of something to do with either their slavery or their freedom or something about their history, and now he says, this represents my body. These words would have been shocking. But essentially, what Jesus is showing them is that this meal, not just the bread, but this meal that they're eating, the celebration of their freedom from slavery, a meal in which every dish was specifically there to represent something, Jesus is essentially telling them that this meal was never merely about slavery in Egypt, but always pointed to me. It always pointed to the freedom that I would give from sin. And it goes right along with what we see at the beginning of Matthew. As I've tried to say before, we read the stories of Jesus, whether it's in Mark, like we'll be in next week, or Matthew, where we are this morning, the whole book goes together. And at the very beginning of Matthew, this is what we read. So an angel comes from heaven to talk to Joseph. Joseph has just found out that Mary is pregnant, but she's not pregnant because of him. So, by reason, he believes that she has been unfaithful and that she's gone to bed with another man. He's ready to divorce her. But an angel comes down from heaven to explain the situation, that this child that Mary has is not because she was unfaithful, but that a miracle has happened and the Holy Spirit has put this child into the womb of Mary. And here's what the angel says to Joseph. Catch this. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It does not say he will save his people from hell. He will save his people from judgment. It says he will save his people from their sins. It kind of gives a personality to sin, that it's something that is dangerous, or more specifically and more to the point, as the Bible would teach us, it is not only dangerous, but it is deadly. And Jesus has come to save his people from it. And that's what he's talking about with this meal. That this meal, this Passover, was never just merely about celebrating freedom from physical slavery in a physical nation called Egypt. But it was always preparing people for Christ, pointing to Jesus, who would bring freedom from sin. Essentially, Jesus says this meal is about me. Jesus redefines for his disciples, and gave them the truest understanding of what that Passover meal was about. That meal that transitioned into now what we call the Lord's Supper. But also what we see, not only what we hear come out of the mouth of Jesus, but for a moment, let's think about what we see him do. When he takes that bread and he tears it before he gives it to his disciples, by him tearing the bread, he gives it to them, and he is showing that his body would also be torn or wounded, as we would later see at the cross. But we also see this, the fact that he gave it to his disciples. Jesus, as he gave that broken bread to them, is saying, showing, that his body would be broken, beaten, and bruised on that cross, and ultimately crushed by God Almighty on behalf of the sin of his people. We see this in Matthew, but we hear this in Luke. As I said at the beginning, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about the Lord's Supper, talk about this Passover meal that Jesus took and redefined and transformed into what we call the Lord's Supper. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, this is the words of Christ. He says, or it's written, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The bread that he broke, representing his body being beaten and bruised on the cross, but then giving it to his disciples, showed by his actions that this death would be on behalf of them, on behalf of his people, as we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. But as we go on in the text to talk about the cup, this isn't disconnected. Don't think that this is like somehow completely divided from Jesus talking about the bread. But when we put them together, it gives us a fuller picture, better understanding of what this meal, of what the cross was about. So if you have your Bible open, look at verse 27. Verse 27. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, there are some words in there. There are some ways these words are used that to us seem very, very strange. So what we're going to do for a quick moment is we're going to rewind back into the Old Testament. Because these few short sentences that Jesus gives are rooted back many years before Jesus was on earth. Things that were said by the prophets, things that were said in various books in the Old Testament. But they give us such a great understanding, and hopefully from that understanding, an appreciation for what Jesus started there with that Lord's Supper. So just like with the bread, he essentially said, "This represents my body, a body that's going to be broken, bruised as a sacrifice for sin." In a similar way, he takes that cup and gives it to his disciples. "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood." Now, why would he mention blood? What is important about that? What is significant about blood in the Bible? Especially not just blood, but again, hear the word of Christ. "This is my blood of the covenant." Well, interestingly enough, that phrase is found back in the book of Exodus. Listen to this. In Exodus chapter 24, we have this story. The people of Israel have just left slavery out of Egypt. Moses is leading them through the wilderness. And then God promises to Moses that he's going to come down and come near to the people of Israel. He wouldn't come all the way to them like Jesus did. But God is saying, "I'm going to come near to the people of Israel, but there are a few things that you guys need to do to prepare for me to come close to you." And so this is what begins to take place. And we read, this is what Moses did to prepare the people. It says, he sent young men of all the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. The significance of that, God is coming down. We need to make peace with him. He is a holy and a good God. We are a sinful people. We need to offer sacrifices so that peace can be made with God, so that when he visits us, it is a visit of grace, not of judgment. So other things are done. There's the sacrifice that's offered. But then once there's the blood, we read what Moses did. Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." So a quick summary, the significance of the blood. Blood, in that we see peace made with God by this sacrifice. A sacrifice is made for sin so that when God comes near, there can be a peaceful relationship there. There's fellowship with him. And it's fellowship within a covenant. A special, unique relationship that God makes with these people. Jesus mentions that very thing. He says, "Take, drink this. It is my blood of the covenant." In other words, Jesus is saying, what my blood that I'm soon going to shed on the cross represents is the way in which peace through a sacrifice is made with God. And what is this covenant that Jesus spoke of? Because the covenant that we just read about back in Exodus was a covenant that was made with a particular nation. But later on in the Old Testament, God speaks of a new covenant, a new relationship, a new friendship with God that would not be limited to one group of people. And this is the covenant that Jesus speaks of. And we read about it in Jeremiah chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 31 through 34, this is what we read. This is the words of God from His mouth. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more." This is the covenant that Jesus is speaking of. Such a greater, better covenant than what we read about in Exodus. And this is the kind of relationship, friendship that Jesus is making available and possible to His people by going to the cross, by making Himself that sacrifice that we read about in Exodus, a sacrifice so that there can be peace between mankind and God. And through that peacemaking and God drawing near to mankind, a covenant relationship being established in which we know God personally. It's no longer just religion and ritual, but it's all about relationship with this God. A relationship made possible through Jesus Christ. And within this relationship, forgiveness of sin. Once again, hear the last sentence from the passage of Jeremiah. "I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." This is what Jesus was bringing about at the cross. That is why He said, when He gave the cup, He said to them, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant." This is the way in which peace between mankind is going to be made, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So who's it poured out for? Many. That's a large number. And John, in the book of Revelation, when he sees the people of God, would say something very similar. He wouldn't say there were many of them, but actually when John in the book of Revelation, when he sees the people that Christ died for, he says there was a crowd, thousands upon thousands. There were 10,000s of 10,000s of people. People from every country. People from all kinds of languages and tribes and people groups. In other words, from all around the world, this large crowd that John would say could not be counted. And when Jesus says here in Matthew, this blood which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, that word many and what John talks about in Revelation, they go hand in hand together. Jesus died for His people who are a countless multitude. So this morning, as we take what we have heard about the Lord's Supper, we take the good news that comes from this text about what Jesus came to do, that He came to give up His life, that bread that was broken, representing how His life would be crushed by God Almighty on the cross, as a sacrifice to make peace between God who is holy and mankind who is sinful, and that peace being made because by that sacrifice, forgiveness of sin was accomplished, as was the purpose of Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. He will deliver His people from their sin. Forgiveness being made. So this morning, as we get ready to come forward to this table, I want to give us some things to think about as we do this. Some things to reflect on in connection with what we've heard this morning. First, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of Me. Eat this bread, drink from this cup, so as to remember what I have done." So first we remember because in this supper, we see the importance of Jesus' death. Bible teacher D.A. Carson writes, "Jesus tells us to remember not His birth, not His life, nor His miracles, but His death." Close quote. Secondly, we remember because as our mouth eats the bread and drinks from the cup, so we are to feed our soul on Jesus. As we eat bread and drink the cup, our bodies are strengthened. So also when we look with trust to Jesus, it is He who strengthens our faith with every look toward Him that we make. So when we eat this bread, it reminds us how food strengthens the body. So we should be reminded that fellowship with Christ, looking to Jesus in the Scriptures, strengthens our soul and enlivens our faith in Him. But also we remember because of what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Paul writes, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." That death, the one that we have looked at this morning, the one that involved bleeding, Jesus' life for the lives of many was given. Given for a number of people that cannot be counted. Jesus gave His precious life to God so that He would be greatly punished as payment on behalf of a countless multitude of people. These people now, by trust in Jesus, are made able to have friendship or fellowship with God. They form their own community in which God blesses, leads, and guards. That is the covenant that was spoken of by Jesus. A community of people in which God blesses, leads, and guards. In this group of people, this countless number of souls, there is also seen forgiveness. These people enjoy friendship with God because they are forgiven. Those that come to Christ for forgiveness so that they might be with God are not just forgiven of what sins they have done in the past, but forgiven of every sin that they have ever done and ever will do. It is a complete forgiveness offered through Jesus Christ. And that is why there is no longer need to constantly confess sin, even to Christ, so as to maintain salvation or to continue that friendship with God. When we see our need for Christ, we see our need for His sacrifice that made peace between God and man, and we trust that sacrifice to make peace between us and God, at that moment, every sin of the past and every sin that we will commit in the future is completely done away with in the sight of God. There is no need for a continual confession of sin to keep our salvation. Christ's salvation He made at the cross was perfect. And when we trust in that, every sin, past and future, is nailed to that cross and we carry it no more. No more guilt. And that is what we celebrate at this table. We remember what He did. We remember the cross. We remember His suffering. We come to the table with reverence and a sense of worship because of what the great God did through Jesus Christ. But that we also do this celebrating the salvation that was given by Jesus Christ when He said at the cross, "It is finished." Let us pray.